Yesterday, we finished wrapping up the sources for the Isser Hana of Basar B'Chalav, meat cooked with milk. And we also talked about making cheese and what we can use to make cheese. That was yesterday. It's very much worth looking into, reviewing yesterday's daf. And now we're picking up a bit of a change of pace today in the last daf of Perek Kol HaBasar. We're wrapping up some inyanim and moving on to the next Perek. So we're starting the Mishnah, the very last line of Kuf Tes Zayin. Chomer bechelev mibadam. There's something more machmir by chelev, which is the fats that are usher to eat, from dam, which is blood, which is always usher to eat. Vechomer bedam mibechelev. And something is more stringent by blood than by chelev. The Mishnah will explain, and the Gemara will explain even further about it. Chomer bechelev. There's something more machmir bechelev shechelev. Turning over to Kuf Yud Zayin on the top. Moelin bo. V'chayavin alav mishum pigul nosar v'tame. So what does this mean? You can commit me'ila by eating chalev. So first of all, you don't want to eat chalev. That's usser. Second of all, you don't want to commit me'ila. That's also usser. And a person who commits me'ila, which we translate as misappropriation. It's the misuse of what belongs to the temple. So somebody uses something that belongs to the temple, or he eats karbanos that belong to the temple, he brings an asham me'ilos to atone for this, and he pays back to the temple, plus a chomesh. So that's the aver of me'ila. So you don't want to do me'ila, and especially not with chelev, because that's double dipping. And this is a bit of a chazara of our kodshim days, which was, Rabbosai, not that long ago. It was only 120 days ago, be'erch. We were in Menachos, just for that zvachim. So someone would be chayev for pigul, for eating chalev. Now, pigul was when the kohen was doing an avoda. He was doing one of the critical avodas that make the carbon happen, whether it's the shechita, the holacha, the zrika. And he has intention that the parts that are supposed to be consumed from the carbon will be consumed in the wrong time, after the deadline. A little zvachim chazara. If he had intention that we're going to eat the parts outside of the place, that's pasul vein vakaris. If he has intention, we're going to eat the parts in the wrong time, that's pigul v'chayev karis. So this is also a very bad aveira, and if somebody is eating the chalev in the wrong time, they could be eating this chalev that was a carbon that the kohen had the wrong intention, the pigul intention, they'd be chayev for eating pigul. And nosar is leftovers. It's not just your Shabbos leftovers. This is a carbon, parts of a carbon that were supposed to be eaten that same day or the day and the night, and they are eating them after the time that the Torah has allotted to eat the carbon. So somebody eats chalev, they're not only chayev for eating chalev, they're also chayev for notar if it is leftovers beyond the time allowed to eat the carbon. And tameh, if the person is tameh when he eats the chalev, it's an eating, and he's chayev for being tameh and eating kodshim, and he's chayev for the chalev. And the Mishnah continues, mash ein ken bedam. Dam, this does not apply to. V'chomer bedam, there's something more machmer by blood. Shedam noheg bivhema chayev v'of. We've seen before, you can't drink anyone's blood. We had certain kulas, the chelev of a chaya was mutter, but not of a behema. We had certain kulas by kisui adam, so it doesn't apply to everything. It doesn't apply to behemas. But blood, we cannot drink blood from a behema chayev v'of, even from kosher or non-kosher. Ben temeim, ben tahorim. The chelev eno noeg ele bevehema tzahura bilvad. The iser of chelev is only by behema tzahura, by a chaya, a tzvi, a deer, for instance. Translate as deer, it might be some sort of wild goat thing. A steinbok, says Rashi. So the chelev of that is mutter. The chelev of a bird, I don't think birds have chelev. Maybe penguins do, because they live where it's cold. But maybe not. So Gemara is going to explain. Mini hani mile. How do we know that the iser of me'ila applies to chelev? Rashi points out, the question is by kodshim kalim. By kodshe kodshim, that's the holy of holies, that's the highest level of karbanos. For example, in ola or chatas, these things are consumed on the mizbeach and none of it is eaten. So that's pretty obvious that if somebody is eating part of an ola, which is supposed to be entirely on the mizbeach, he's going to be chayev for me'ila because now he's misappropriating, misusing what should be going up on the mizbeach. So the question now is, how do we know the iser of me'ila applies to parts of the kodshim kolim, and the chelev of the kodshim kolim, Rabbi said, we don't eat it. It's usher to eat the chelev. It goes up onto the mizbeach. So how do we know that's usher? Amar Rabbi Yonai, Amar Kro, Kasher Yura, Mishur Zevech Hashlamim. This is a good review. We just had this 8 days ago in Vayikra. So the Pasuk says, just like we take parts off the shore, the ox of the Zevach Shlamim, And it's talking about the shor, which is the chatas of Aaron HaKohen, the shor Kohen Mashiach, which is a chatas that the Kohen Gadol brings if he makes an error. They're compared. What are we learning from the shor Zevach Shlamim Me'ata from now on? The Torah already told us in those Pesukim which parts we separate off, which parts of the Shlamim we eat. So Shlamim is something we eat, it's called Shekolim, and which parts go up on the Mizbeach, like the Chelev and the kidneys and the diaphragm. Hareze Bala Lamed, it's coming to learn, and Nimsa Lamed, and it also teaches us. It teaches what? A Makish, a Hekish, a comparison of Shor Zevach HaShlamim Lepar Kohen Mashiach. So now we have a Hekish, a comparison, because it says just like we separated from the Zevach Shlamim, we separate from the Par of the Kohen Mashiach, which is the Chatas of the Kohen Gadol, which is a Kodshei Kodshim. So Ma Par Kohen Mashiach Yesh Bo Me'ila. That obviously has Me'ila, because it is Kodshei Kodshim. Af Shor Zevach Shlamim, so to the Shlamim, which is Kodshim Kolim, because we eat parts of that. Some parts the Kohanim eat, and some parts the Bailim, the owner of the carbon, eats. Yesh Bo Me'ila. So some parts of that, the parts that go up on the Mizbeach, the Chelev, for instance, has Me'ila. So now we have a drasha that the Chelev of this, of Kodshei Kolim, for instance, the Shlamim, there is a Me'ila. Amar Le Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says back, Ki urezo sheshana Rabbi, is it disgusting to you? Rabbi's drasha? Rabbi has another drasha that teaches us that chaylev of Kodshim Kolim is asr. He brings a pasuk, and the pasuk is by Kodshim Kolim. It says, Kol chaylev l'Hashem. All of the chaylev is for Hashem. Le Rabos, this includes a more Kodshim Kolim, the limbs of lesser holies. For example, the shlamim, things that we could eat, the psachim. Lime'ila. They are included in Me'ila. If somebody misappropriates them, he has to bring the carbon, the Asha Me'ilos, the carbon, to be Mechaper and pay back with a Chumash. Amar Abaye Itzrich. Abaye says we need both Limudim. And Abaye is going to tell us why. Dikos of Rachmana Chaylev. Hava Amina Chaylev in. So if they'd only told us about the Chaylev, Kol Chaylev L'Shem, we would think it's Davka only the Chaylev, only this kind of fat that there's a problem with Me'ila. But we would think that's the only problem. Yoteret, or Yoseris, Vishtei Klaios, Lo, we would think that the diaphragm and the kidneys, which are also parts of the shor that go up on the Mizbeach, we'd think there's no problem of Me'ila. So therefore, Kasav Rachmana Kasher Yuram, so it has this pasuk we brought in the beginning of the Gemara, the Hekesh between the par of the Shlamim, which is Kodshei Kolim, and the par Kohen Godol, which is Kodshei Kodshim. And by both of these, we separate out the diaphragm and the kidneys and bring them up on the Mizbeach with the Chelev. So that, too, is subject to Me'ila, if you were to use those. Ikas of Rachmana Kasher Yuram, if it only had the Pasuk by the Hekesh, Hava Mina Chelev Olya, we would think that the Chelev, the fat of the Olya, which is the sheep's tail, the sheep have a tail with a lot of fat in it. We're going to find out more about this very soon. Delesa Beshor, a shor does not have such a thing. A shor does not have a fatty tail with Chelev in it. Lo, we think there's no problem. Kasav Rachmana Kol Chelev, so we learn the Pasuk Kol Chelev, which Rebbe learns from, to include the Chelev Olya, which goes upon the Mizbeach, and Me'ila would apply to this. Amar Le Rav Mari Le Rav says, Olya Ikri, Olya, which is the sheep's tail, is called Chelev, Titzar Bechila, you should not be able to eat it. So what's going on is by a regular food, by chulin food, which is not in the Beis HaMikdash, if you're having a sheep for lunch, you can actually eat the chalev in the olya, in the tail. Of course, it needs some bikiyas to make sure you're only eating the chalev from the tail, because the chalev in the other parts of the animal is usr, but you can eat the olya, which is this fatty tail. And if you like fat, you're on a high-fat diet, then gishmak, very good. But by karbanos, this goes up on the mizbeach. So if your carbon pesach, rabose, is a sheep, then that fatty tail, that olya, you can't eat it. It goes up on the mizbeach with the other chalev. Amar Lei Alecha Makras. He says, the pasuk has an answer to you why the in normal chulin, the olya is not asr. It says, kol chalev shor v'chesev v'ez. So the Torah tells us, when it's telling us chalev asr, it says the chalev of a shor, an ox, a kesev, a sheep, and an ez, and a goat. Davar hashave b'shor v'chesev ez. So it's telling you what's asr, the fat that is equal in all of them, which excludes an olya, a fat tail, because the shor and the a's, the ox and the goat, don't have these. So if you ever see an ox or a goat walking around with an olya, you got to ask them where he got it, because they don't come with those from the factory. So Rav Ashi Amar Chelbo. Rav Ashi has another source, Chelbo. Chelbo, the girsa they use is Chelev. Chelev ha'alya ikri. It's called the fat of the tail. It's not just called Chelev. Chelev stama lo ikri. It's not just called stam Chelev. They answer back to Rav Ashi, Elameata, if that's the true drasha, lo yamalo ba. There shouldn't be any me'ila by the tail because it says kol chelev. And if kol chelev doesn't mean the chelev of the aliyah, then there wouldn't be me'ila by the aliyah when it's from a karban, from a Pesach. So mechavarta kidu ela mechavarta kidu Rav Zvid's. We like Rav Zvid's limud better, that when the Torah tells us chelev's aser, it says by the shore, the kesef, and the eis. So it's chelev that's in all of these things, which is aser, not the aliyah, is not aser by chulin because it only comes in the sheep. There's a famous story about the aliyah. Does anyone remember this in Psachim? Someone says, yeah. Someone's raised their hand. Give it Gvaldik. It's such a good story that we're going to read it right now because it's amazing. It's really an amazing Gemara. So we are in Psachim Gimel. Hahu Arma. There was an Aramean. Rabbi said, that's not a Yid. The Havasolik. He would go to Yerushalayim for Pesach. So some people would go to Miami for Pesach. He went to Yerushalayim. Achu Pesachim b'Yerushalayim. He actually ate the carbon Pesach. Amar, he said to his neighbor, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, K'siv kol ben nechar lo yochel bo. It says a stranger can't eat from the Pesach. And it also says kol ara lo yochel bo. Anyone who doesn't have a bris milah can't eat from it. He says, Ana, and this guy's a goy without a bris milah. He says, Ka'achilna m'shufrei shufrei. I ate from the best of the best of the carbon Pesach. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, being Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he can do this. He says, Mi kosofu loch me'olia? Did they ever feed you out of the olia? Did you ever eat part of the olia? That's this olia we're talking about with a lot of fat in it from the sheep. Amar le lo, he says, no, I never ate that. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, Ki solokta lochasam eimalahu sfuli me'olia. He says, tell them in the base of Mikdash, I want to have from the olia as my portion of the carbon Pesach. So Kisolik, when he went up to the next Pesach, Amr lehu me'olyas fuli, give me to eat from the tail. Amru lei, olya legevoa solka. He says, that goes up on the Mizbeach. That goes up to Hashem. Amru lei, mon amr lechachi. They asked this Aramean, who told you to ask for the tail? Amr lehu, he told them back, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told me to ask for the tail. Amru, my high to come. Now they figured it out. Who is this guy showing up here? This guy's obviously never went to yeshiva, never went to Daf Yomi, never learned the Gemara Chula, never learned Gemara Pesachim, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is telling him to ask for the tail. Bodku Batrei, they sent the FBI after him. Not the FBI, they don't know what they're doing, but they sent someone who knew what they were doing after him. Ashkehuhu Darmahu, they found out he's an Aramean, Vikotlu, and they killed him out. Shalchu Le Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they sent back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Shalom Loch Rebbe, Shalom Alecha, Yehuda ben Beseira. You're in Nitzivin, which is far away from Yerushalayim, so he couldn't come to Regel. Mitzudatach prus b'Yerushalayim, and your net is spread around Yerushalayim. Rabbi Osai, this is the first internet in history. And that was the olya, that was the chelev, which for a carbon goes in the Mizbeach, but if you're having a sheep for lunch, goes into your stomach. Very good, two dots. Mashein ken bedam. So now what are the sources that these isurim, that the Mishnah lists, do not apply to dam? Hold on, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nivro. Min Halimile Amar Ula Amar Kro. The pasuk says Lachem. It belongs to you. In Baruch Hashem, my Gemara has the psukim. It says Ki Nevesh Habasar Bedam Hi Vanina Tativ. I gave it to you Lachem for you. Alamizbech Lechaper. So Hashem gave the dam to us that we use it for a kapara. So because the Torah says, Lachem, Shelachem Yehei, it belongs to you. So it doesn't belong to the temple, technically, so it's not Chayiv and Me'ila if somebody uses the dam. Deveri Yishmael Tana, he has another drasha, Lechaper, the same pasuk says, Lechaper. Lekapara Natativ, I gave it to you to achieve Kapara by Zrikas Adam, which is the most crucial of the avodas of Kabarnas. Velo Le'ila, and it doesn't apply, and Me'ila doesn't apply to it. You can't misappropriate the dam. Rabbi Yochanan, the Mar, Rabbi Yochanan says the same pasuk says who at the end it says the dam is who the dam is still as it was before you used it. Who lifnei kapara kila achar kapara, the dam has the same halachic status after you've used it for kapara as before you used it for kapara. And he explains mal achar kapara, just like after kapara, ein bo meila. There's no meila. We're about to find out, and when we learn the Gemara and meila, we'll find out very well that things that you've already utilized for their avoda, for their holy service, there's no more me'ila in them because it's done its job already. There are a couple exceptions. We're about to see some of them. But the general rule is if you've used it to do the avodah, there's no more me'ila. So the pasuk says the dam is still as it was after you use it and before you use it. So just like mal achar kapara ein bo me'ila, aflifnei kapara ein bo me'ila. So it's the same status before and after, so there's no me'ila before or after you've used the dam of the kodshim. Ve'ema, but we could say, hu la'achar kapara klifnei kapara, that even after kapara, it's the same as before kapara, and maybe it would be chayiv in me'ila if someone used the dam before he sprinkled the dam. Ma lifnei kapara yesh bo me'ila, af la'achar kapara yesh bo me'ila, and there would be an iser me'ila on the dam. And they tell you, explain what I was just saying. Ein lecha davar shenase mitzvaso umolin bo. There isn't anything that you've performed the mitzvah appropriately in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's still subject to me'ila. Velo, and there isn't. So here come the exceptions, Rabosai. Vare trumas hadeshen. Trumas hadeshen is amazingly, it's the first avoda in the morning. And what are we doing? We're cleaning up from yesterday's avoda. So it's really, Rav Hirsch brings this, it's really a musar that we always have to look back to the previous generations and we're continuing their avoda. We're always, the first avoda of the morning is continuing yesterday's avoda and taking the residuals of those and putting them right next to the mizbeach. Right next to our current avoda is the residuals of yesterday's avoda that every day is building on the prior day. It's a beautiful musar. So there's Trumas Hadeshen, Denase Mitzvaso. So the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen is done when he takes the deshen off and he puts it next to the mizbeach on the ground. Umolin bo. And they still commit me'ila if he uses the ashes after he puts them next to the mizbeach. Dichsiv v'samo etzel mizbeach. You put them next to the mizbeach. And Rashi explains they have to stay there as a geniza until they're absorbed into the ground. We see from here they're asur behana. You can't use them. You can't do anything else with the ashes of Trumas Hadeshen. Good. Mishum dehave trumas hadeshen big de kahuna shnei kesuvim abayim keechad. So it's not just trumas hadeshen that's an exception to the rule, but there are two exceptions to the rule. And Rabbi said when we have two exceptions to the rule, we just assume that doesn't get rid of the rule. It doesn't upslug the whole concept. It just tells us there's two exceptions to the rule. So we also have big de kahuna by the begadim, the special four begadim, the white begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur. The kol shnei k'suvim b'ayim ke'echad ein melamdin. And when there's two exceptions to the rule, two psukim that come to teach the same exception to the general rule, we still hold the general rule and we say, well, those two are just the exceptions. And we know the big day Kohen Gadol, after Yom Kippur, we couldn't use them at least for another Yom Kippur, as we're going to see. Hanicha l'rabbanan, that's good for the rabbanan, d'amrei hanicham sham. It says by the white begadim of the Kohen Gadol after Yom Kippur, you leave them there. Melamed Shetunin Geniza. So the Rabbanan say they need Geniza. So the Big Day Kohen Gadol were not recyclable. They were disposable. They were one use, and that's all. Elo Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa disagrees with that Shita. He says to Amar Shlo Yishtamashem Yom Kippurim Acher. Hanicham Sham, he says you can't recycle them for next Yom Kippur. But he says that a regular Kohen Hediot could use those same Begadim during the year for a regular Avoda. So they couldn't be recycled. They needed new begadim every Yom Kippur, but they could be used the rest of the year by Kohen Hediot. Now, the Big Day Kohen Hediot, when those wear out, it could even use those for wicks, for the menorah. That's what they would do with it. But the Big Day Kohen Gadol, it's a bit of a higher madrega, because the pasuk says, chenicham sham, you have to leave them there. You have to put them away for a special use, it seems. The Rabbanan say, put them away, geniza forever. So ma'ika lemeimar for Rabbi Dosa, who says you could reuse them. Ele mishum dechavai trumas adeshen v'egla arufa. So we have two other exceptions. If we have Trumas Hadeshen, Hinicham Sham, Hinicham Etzel Mizbeach, and we have Egla Arufa, which we learned in Sanhedrin. Beautiful. We get to review Sanhedrin also, that if they found a corpse in between cities, in Baltimore they find the corpses downtown, but we're talking about when they find in between cities, Jewish cities, so they measure who is the nearest city, and the elders of the nearest city, they bring this Egla Arufa, and they bring, it's not Arufa yet, they bring an Egla, and they take it down to Nachal Eson, to this barren riverbed, and they are Orif, they hit it with an axe in the back of the neck there, and they bury it there, it has to stay there, it's Asur Behana. It's just, it's not a carbon, you understand, it's not the base of Mikdash, but similar to a carbon, that it's Asur Behana, you can't eat it, you can't feed it to the dogs, nothing like that. So that, along with Trumas Hadeshen, are two exceptions that prove the rule. So we say, again, there's a chilak also by Eglarufa. So it's good if you say when you have two psukim that are the exceptions to the rule, we do not learn that the rule is undone. Ela mand amar melamdin, but some, there are shitas that hold two exceptions does not prove the rule. My ikal amemar, we're about to turn over. Tre miyute ksivi. There are two exceptions written. Now, we're going to see in the psukim in themselves, by the Truma Sedeshin and the Egla Rufa, it points us in the direction that's dafka by these things, it has to stay there. Hacha Kisiv, by Truma Sedeshin, it says Samo. Now, it could have just said Sam. Sam is just place it. Samo is place him, place the ashes. So it's dafka, that Vav shows us dafka, the ashes stay there, which implies, in general, other things don't have to stay there, don't have to be in Geniza, could be used after their mitzvah is done. Chasam Kisiv, and by Egla Rufa, it says Ha-arufa. It could have said arufa, decapitated. It says ha-arufa, that decapitated ox. That's what has to be buried there in Nachal Eson. And not other things don't need a geniza like that. So therefore, these two concepts, we have a clearer picture from the psukim, from Samo, ha-arufa, that these are the exceptions to the rule. These do not disprove the rule. Tzlata krailam ali. So going back to Dam, we brought three different sources, actually the same pasuk, but we have three sources in this pasuk that dam, we don't have the yesurim of our Mishnah, do not apply to blood. Why do we need this? Lama liba dam. Chad l'miyute min nosar. One takes it out of nosar, that's leftover. If the dam was from a carbon that was outside of the time, someone eats that, drinks that dam, he'd be chayiv on the dam, Rabbi Osai, because the Mishnah said it's asur, but he's not chayiv nosar. Chad l'miyute min me'ila. And another excludes the dam from me'ila, because it's l'chapara and not from me'ila. Had miyute mituma, and one excludes it from tuma if the person was tame and he drank the blood. Avol mepigol letzoich kra. From pigol, you do not need a source to exclude it from pigol. Good, we have a little more review of pigol, which is a very complicated concept. Ditznan, the Mishnah said by pigol, kol sheyesh lo matirin, if something has a matir. A matir is something you have to do, an avodah you have to do to make this mutter. For example, the mincha has a kemitza. We scoop out or komets part of the mincha off to burn on the mizbeach, and that kemitza is matir, the rest of the mincha, now we can eat it. And when we sprinkle the dam on the mizbeach, that's matir, the meat of kol shekolim, now we can eat it. So the Mishnah says, kol sheyesh lo matir, in something that has a matir service, bein le'adam bein mizbeach, whether the product goes to be eaten or goes on the mizbeach, chayavin alav mishum pigol. That's what can have a pigol happen. Dam gufei matir hu, the dam itself is the matir. In most cases, the carbon, the sprinkling of the dam is what allows us to eat the meat or burn the rest of the carbon on the mizbech. Hadron alach kol habasar. Wow, Rabbi Osai, mazel tov kol habasar is an amazing perek and the source for a lot of halacha lamaseh. And now we're going to switch gears a little bit to something that's not halacha lamaseh yet, but God willing, it will be very soon. And this is perek ha'or v'harotev. We're going to talk a little bit about tuma and tahara, about things that are pure and impure. And the Tosfos actually gives us an explanation about why this is even here. And so the first Tosfos, Or Verotiv, he says, Mishum Ditznan Peret Behema Kosha. We had a Mishnah way back in the pregnant animal. Now you remember, we talked about a cow that was pregnant and somebody reached in and pulled out the fetus first, or if they shechted the mother, she was having a hard time, she wasn't going to make it anyway, they shechted the mother, but the baby was still alive. That was called a ben pekua. And remember, that didn't even need a shechita, deraisa, derabana, and you can't eat an animal that's walking around, but you understand, but deraisa didn't need a shechita because the shechita of the mother helped for the ben pekua that was inside at the time. So that was Duff Ein Zayin. That was a mere 40 days ago, where both sides. A beautiful, we're getting a chazara. But over there, it says, Ashilya, the fetus inside, Eina mitame tumas ochlin, velo tumas nevelos. So it doesn't have tuma as a food. It can't be mekabel tuma, get impure as a food. And it's also not a nevela yet. So we're getting back to that subject, Tosfos is pointing out. I'll continue the Tosfos. The Tosfos gives us sort of a really cool play-by-play of what we've just done. We've just accomplished a lot in the last 40 days. So he says, Tanda ha'or ve'rotev. So therefore, it teaches our perek or rotev about the tuma and tahara. Umayde afseke, and we had to interrupt mishum detanya perek behem akasha, that over there, we taught by the pregnant animal matza ba ben tes chai. If you found a fully developed baby animal alive, taun shchita V'chayev ba'oso v'espeno. It needs a shechita to eat it, and it's chayev and oso v'espeno. So we had a perek oso v'espeno. We can't check the mother and the child animal on the same day. Tana harkach oso v'espeno. So we taught that perek next, right after behemah makasha. V'id, and since the ayre bay b'shechita she'ena ra'uya, and since we were dealing with the concept of shechita she'ena ra'uya. Now remember, the chilek by oso v'espeno was that in order to invoke the halacha of Osav Espino, in order to start the clock ticking on shechting the child and the mother animal on the same day, it had to be a shechita re'uya, a shechita that you could actually eat from, not just if he's shechting it for a different reason. So Tana Batre Kisui Adam. The Kisui Adam had the same issue. There was a machlokis, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, if a shechita she'ena re'uya was chayiv in Kisui Adam. And remember, we paskin differently by Kisui Adam and by Oso Espino. By Oso Espino, we needed Shechita Ro'i. You had to be able to eat it to start the clock for the halacha of Oso Espino. But by Kisui Adam, any Shechita needed a Kisui Adam, because remember, they asked, Rabbi Chia asked Rabbi the question, I have these moths eating my flax in the vat. And he said, oh, fine, go get a bird and shech the bird into the vat. The blood will go in there. And they said, but wait, you can't have a Kisui Adam, so what are you going to do? Because they needed a Kisui Adam, even though he wasn't going to eat it. He was just going to use it as a moth repellent. The idea the Tana b'Kisui Adam, since we were learning about Kisui Adam, noheg b'chaya b'of, and that it applies to chaya and of, but not behema, famously, because the blood of behema goes on the mizbeach. Tana gidanasha, so we taught gidanasha yet, next, to noheg b'chaya v'lo b'of, because there's a chilak also, it applies to chaya and not by of. I did the ayre bay, b'yerech shnis bashal ba gidanasha, so we were dealing with the gidanasha, which is an iser, which could, if it was cooked with something, might make the whole thigh usser, might make the whole pot of stew usser. Bivlias isser, which deals with absorbing isser. Tana kolabasar, we learned our last parak, kolabasar, which deals with isser and heter, absorbing taste of isser and heter. Batre hydril and yana kamaisa. Now we're back to our original inyan from 40 days ago of tuma and tahira by the shilya of what makes this, we have this animal in front of us, which parts of it are food, what's not food, to be makabel tuma or to give off tuma. So we've gone through this whole concept. We've had all these beautiful prakim in the last 40 days, and now we're back to a little tuma and tahara, and God willing, this will be halacha l'maisa soon. Beautiful. So ha'or v'harotiv, the skin and the gravy. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to explain this. Ha'kipa v'elol atzamos agidin ha'kranai mitzlafayim mitzstarfin Latame Tumas Ochlin. All of these things, we're going to identify them, they combine to be Matame Tumas Ochlin, Aval Lo Tumas Nevelus, but not to make a Nevela. So what's going on? Rabbi saying, when you have food, it can become Tame. It can get halachically impure. It's actually a Machlokas Rashi says, if you just have a Kazayas size of food, it can be except Tuma. But you need a Kabetza size, that's two Kazayasim. There's a whole discussion in the postgame, if they're Zaysim and their Beitzim are bigger than the ones we see nowadays. They talk about the poskim talk about this by the shear for challah, if their Beitzim were bigger than ours, and it's quite possibly they were. But the shear for tuma for food, to accept tuma, at least a kezias for Rashi, Tosfos says a kebetza, which is two kezaysim, and to transmit tuma to something else, so if your food gets tame, your coffee gets tame, it's a bad example because it's a liquid, it has different rules. But if your pastry gets tame and it's a kabetza and it touches another food, it can be metame that other food. And if you're a Kohen and you need to stay tahor to eat your truma, now you can't eat that pastry because it's tame. So there are nafkaminas for Kohanim, nafkaminas for people who eat kodshim. If you're bringing a shlamim, like we found, we just talked about shlamim, you eat parts of the shlamim, you have to be tahor to eat parts of the shlamim. So if you're eating a tame sandwich for lunch, you can't eat your shlamim for dinner. You have to know what you're doing here. So God willing, this will be halacha l'maisa soon, and we're going to do it more be'iyun. So ha'or is the hide, the skin. This is going to combine. Harotev, the gravy, the liquid oozing out of the meat. The hakipa, these are sediments at the bottom of the pot, little pieces of meat, little spices, things falling off your meat when it's in the stew. Ha'elol, so elol is not just an airline rabosai, it means little shreds of meat that when they cut the skin off or they flay the skin off, these little shreds of meat get stuck to the skin. So they're meat, but they're little, it's a little shtickle meat. Atzamos, of course, are the bones. The gidim are sinews. Karnayim are horns. Now, we're not talking about very hard, bony horns. Rashi says we're talking about the softer part of the horn. So I have deer running in my backyard. I've never really caught one and examined his horns because they run too fast. But I think the parts that are the new growth are softer and the old growth is harder. So we're talking about the softer parts of the horns. Hatzlafayim and the hooves, mitzdarfin, they join with the meat to get to the requisite shear of kibetza to spread tuma. Latame tumas ochlin, to get to that shear. So if you have some meat in your on your plate or in your pot, and you have these other things also, which really the hide is not food by itself. The soft horns are not food by themselves, but combined with the meat, yeah, you'll probably eat them together. You know, it's like by marrow bones. Okay, you're not going to eat the bone, but okay, if you're eating the marrow anyway, you'll scrape the bone a little bit also. Okay, I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for anybody else. But these are things the Mishnah identifies as things you would eat with meat, but you wouldn't really eat them by themselves. So they're going to join to the meat to get to the requisite kibetza for the shear of tumas ochlin, avalo, tumas nevelos. But not for the shear of nevela, if this animal was a nevela and he touched it, and the meat was too small. The meat was less than a kazayas, but it had skin on it. It wouldn't make him tame as in touched a nevela. Kiyotze bo, and similar to this, a similar concept, this is a really amazing case for Beisai, hashochet behema. We're talking about a Jew who is shechting, what? A behema tameya, a not kosher animal, le'ovet kochavim, for his neighbor, the Mennonite, or you know, something else, for an Akum. Okay, I don't want to be anything, nothing against Mennonites, but someone who's mamish an Akum, for you know, a Hindu. So I sat next to a Hindu on the plane once, and I asked him what he does. He says they have a statue, and they walk around the statue, and they sing they sing songs to their statue, and they meditate about the statue. I'm like, you pray to a statue? He says, yeah. Like, it was nothing. I'm like, wow. It's amazing. So I was sitting next to a mamish an Akum on the airplane. It was amazing. This is years ago. Amazing thing. So if a Jew is shechting an animal for an akum, a not kosher animal, the akum wants to eat his camel for lunch. Umifar keset, and the Jew shechted it, and now it is flailing around. So the goy can't eat it yet because it's not dead. Goyim are mitzuvian aver minachai. And so if the animal is still flailing around, still doing pirkus, they can't eat from it yet. They have to wait till its mamish dies. So this is a similar, this status, this non-kosher animal that a Jew shechted that's flailing around is metame tumas ochlin. So it's considered to be a food, even though the goy can't eat it yet. We're going to see why. Avolo tumas nevelos, but it's not a nevela yet. Ad shetamos, until it really dies. Ad sheyatis es rosha, or until you cut off its head. If you cut off its head, then even if it's still wiggling, it's considered halachically dead entirely. This even works on zombies, Rabosai. So this is an amazing case. Rashi points out it's davka, a Jew, shechting for a goy, a non-kosher animal, during pirkus. Because when a Jew does shechita, we have a mitzvah of shechita, so when a Jew does shechita, he has in mind this act makes something into food. If a goy does shechita, it doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't change any halachic reality. If a goy does shechita, even if he does it kedas or kedin, it doesn't help. But when a Jew does a shechita, even on a not-kosher animal, the Jew is having in mind this is going to become food for my neighbor, the Hindu. But the Hindu can't eat it yet until the pirkus stops. So it's sort of this in-between. It's considered a food to be metame as a food. If it touches something tame, it would spread that tumah. But it's not yet a nevela because it's not dead yet. So riba letame, back in the Mishnah, riba letame tumas ochlin. So it's included to be metame tumah as a food. Mimasha riba letame tumas nevelos. From what's included to be metame as a nevela. So Rabbi Yehuda, so anything we include as a food is usually included as a nevela. Rabbi Yehuda omer ha-elol ha-mekunas. If he gathered the elol, which is these little scraps of meat that they flay off the hide, and these scraps of meat are stuck to the hide, you wouldn't normally eat these. But if somebody gathered them together, mekunas im yesh bo kizayis, if he gathered together kizayis, makam echad chayev olav. So if he gathered from a nevela, he took the skin off a nevela and gathered all the little flecks of meat off of it and get to a gazayas, he's chayev for eating the nevela or touching the nevela. He would get tame, but he's chayev would mean he's eating the thing. So don't try that at home, please. So, beautiful. So the Gemara says, Tanina, our Mishnah teaches lahada tana rabbanan, just like this b'raisa. There's a b'raisa that teaches as a chiluk between the tuma of ochlin, that certain things we count them together with the meat to be metame as a food, but we don't count them for nevela. So the Tanur Banan, Shomrim Letuma Kala, there is a Shomer. Now, a Shomer is something that protects an item. We have an example, if you've learned in the Mishnayos by Tuma and Tahara, that the klipa, a shell on an egos, on a nut, things like this, the peel of certain fruits, this is called the Shomer. And it's not the fruit itself, but it protects the fruit, so we're going to count it as part of the food to get to the requisite shear of kezias, kebetza, whatever it is. So shomrim, the tuma kala, we have the concept of shomrim, the skin or the klipa, the peel combines with the fruit for tuma kala, v'lo shomrim the tuma chamora, but not for a stringent tuma, like a nevela. Shomrim the tuma kala minala, and what's the source that we have the concept of shomrim for a light tuma? The Tana of Rishmael, Rishmael has a drasha, al kolzera zerua yizorea. So this pasuk is about a nevela falling onto plants. As it says, ki yipol menivlotam, if part of the nevela falls, al kolzera zerua asher yizorea tarhu, on seeds as they are planted in the ground, it's still tahar. So what does it mean? Kederach shebnei adam motzin lizria. So the seeds we're talking about are the way you normally take them out and plant them, which is how chita beklipasa. The chita is in its klipa, in its bran. So about how you normally don't take the bran off your seeds before you plant them with the bran, with the shell on. Sora beklipata, and the barley in its bran, ve'adashim beklipasan. And the adashim also in their klipa. So is an amazing thing. Taisos points out here, there's a gemara at the end of Kesuvos, and this was already years ago in the Daf Yomi, so we're going to bring it because I didn't remember all the details. There's a Gemara at the end of Kesuvos. The Tzai says, in chita beklipasa, the wheat in its shell. He says, Hadamar besof Kesuvos, chita shenikbra aruma. If you buried a chita aruma, naked, without the shell. Hachi Gemara, this is really what it's saying. Af shenikbra aruma, even if you buried a wheat seed naked, yotza bekama levushim. What does this have to do with anything, Rabosai? We've got to pull out the Gemara and Kesuvos because it's been years and years. So it says like this, Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef atidim, in the future. This, the very end of Kesuvos is talking about Yemos HaMashiach, talking about Olam Haba perhaps. Tzadikim atidim, in the future, tzadikim shiyamdu moshehim. The tzadikim are going to stand up tchiyas HaMesim in their clothing. Kal v'chomer mechita. We know this as a kal v'chomer, as a din from a seed of wheat. Machita shnikba aruma, if you buried a seed of wheat naked, without the husk, without anything. Yotza bekama levushim, so it comes out with a lot of clothing, with, you understand, with stalk, with branches, with wheat, with new kernels. Tzadikim shnikba levushim, so tzadikim, you bury them with clothing, with at least with the shrouds. Alachat kama v'kama, so even more so that they'll come out with clothing. So the Tosfos here says, I'm not sure if we're talking about the clothing they were buried in, or their kittel that they wore in Yom Kippur, or their clothing that they wore to Shabbos, I don't really know. But the Maharal and others say, this is not clothing. This is not Gashmi clothing. This is spiritual clothing, that whatever tzaddikim, and listen, we're all at Daf Yomi. I'm including us in tzaddikim, because in this Dvar Baruch Hashem, we're Ozek B'Torah, whatever we develop during our lifetime, and follows us, and we're buried with whatever we develop in our life, whatever midos we work on, whatever chesed we work on, whatever Torah we steig in, we're buried with that, like a seed, but that seed is going to sprout into something even bigger. So by Tchiyas HaMesim, anything we've accomplished in our life, anything that's become our malbush, the garments to our soul, will be even greater and grander by Tchiyas HaMesim. So it's an amazing thing. So seeds, we're learning from the bran of wheat seeds, to Tchiyas HaMesim, that whatever we work on and develop and really put our efforts into in this short lifetime, we're going to see it grow even more in the future. So that's Baruch Hashem, amazing thing. So we see from chita, from the seeds, that the klipa, the husk or the coating, which would be like the skin for the meat, counts for tuma kala, for the tuma of ochlin. Beautiful. V'lo shomrim the tuma chamor, but there's not a concept of shomer for a strict tuma, for a tuma of nevela. Minalan, how do we know? The Tana Rabbanon, the rabbis taught us, bin nivlasa. So the pasuk says, v'chi yamus mina behema, asher hi lachem le'ochla, when a kosher animal dies without a shechita, Rabbosai, hanogeya bin nivlata, someone touches in its nevela, which is mamish, it could have said es nevela, it says bin nivlasa, Yitzma Adarv, he gets Tame from touching an Avela. So it says, B'nivlota, V'lo Be'or, which implies in the flesh itself of this dead animal, of this Nevela animal, not just the skin. She'ain Olav Kezias Basar, not a piece of skin that doesn't have Kezias Basar. We understand if it has a Kezias Basar, that Kezias Basar is Matame as Nevela. But a piece of skin that doesn't have Kezias Basar, it's pasnished. It's not going to be Matame as Nevela. Get a start on the top here of Kuf Yod Ches. Yachol nogeya keneged basar mechorav, lo yehe tameh. So you might think someone just touches the skin of this nevela from the back. He's only touching the hide. He's not touching any of the meat. You would think he's not tameh because it says be nivlasa, which seems to imply davka in its meat. Tameh lomar yitma. The end of the pasuk says yitma. So the touching will make him tameh. So my kamar, what's this pasuk really say, telling us? Amar Rava, Amar La Kadi. So Rava says, or maybe Kadi, which might mean we don't really know who said it. Hasoi Mechsra Haki Katani. So it's missing something. This is really what this Bryce is teaching. Bi Nivlasa, when the Pasuk says, in its Nevela, Veloba Or, Shein Alav Kazayas. So touching just a piece of hide that doesn't have Kazayas of Basar would not make him Tame. Let's read this again. Veloba Or, Shein Alav Kazayas Basar, Or Mashlimo Le Kazayas. So he would not become tamei for touching a piece of hide, rabosai, that has a little bit of basar, but not a kezias, but it has more hide that finishes up to kezias. So the hide does not join with the basar to get you a kezias for tuma of nevela. Yachol shani motze af or shiyeshel of kezias. You would think we would exclude even a piece of hide that has a kezias basar, hanugeya kineged basar mechorav, and he just touches the back of it, just the hide of it, not the meat itself. Yachol lo yehe tamei. You would think he's not tamei. Afilu ma'ase yad nami lo avid. You would think it doesn't even serve as a yad. Talmud Amar yitma. So a yad, rabosai, is not a shomer. We learn this, Petuma Tahara. A yad is something you would hold onto. So yad is translated as a handle. So the hide here serves as a handle for tuma, even though the hide is not a shomer for the meat to be count as as a shomer. It counts as that if you touch the hide and there's a kezias of basar, then he does become tameh for touching the nevela. So a lot more of this coming up. Rabosai shkoyach on perakol basar, and we're into a new world, or rotev, and end of chulin is on the horizon. I'll miss it. I love chulin, especially with barbecue sauce.